Your sort of new endeavour not to fall over this one. If you haven't been to the Anchor too many times, an extra special welcome, or if you're visiting us from other parts, a welcome too. What we've been doing on a Sunday morning for a lot of the year is working through the book of Matthew. And I've enjoyed it. It's like we've been tagging along with Jesus and his growing number of followers as we've progressed through. And these followers have grown in number. And there's been some real highlights. You can put it up. Thanks, Lorna. There's been some real highlights, I think, too, as Jesus meets people and interacts with them. Matthew. We met Matthew along the way, who himself wrote this book. You know, he was a tax collector, and if he was like the other tax collectors, he was probably a pretty corrupt kind of businessman, really pushed the limits. And we met him and found that he responded to the message that Jesus was giving. And his life was completely changed, since forgiven, into a relationship with God. We met the paralyzed man who was, by his mates, was lowered through the roof to the feet of Jesus. You know, they went to all that trouble because of their faith in Jesus. And again, his life was completely changed. Part of God's family. You know, he never looked back. And there was the woman with the medical condition who, again, had heard about Jesus, responded, and it took massive effort to get to Jesus on his part, but reached out to him. And again, her life was completely changed. You know, part of God's family and healed of the problem that she had. But now where we're up to in Matthew, I think it's one of those low points. We're in Matthew 11. Oh, might need to move it along for me, Lorna. Thanks. We're in Matthew 11 and verse 20, and it's one of the more sobering kind of parts of Matthew, where we hear about, you know, we've had those highlights, but now we hear about entire towns who failed to respond to Jesus and his message and the message of his followers. Despite the miracles that were performed to back up those claims, unlike those people who we've heard, there were entire towns that kind of just couldn't care less or rejected that message. And the point we're at now, it's like Jesus stops and addresses the people of those towns. So it's a real sobering, hard kind of message that Jesus gives out. But it's one that's applicable for us today, and you know, us as individual. So what he's doing now, it's a bit like a parent maybe sort of taking a child aside, or a teacher taking a student, or probably more the case, the principal taking a student aside and really saying, hey, enough's enough. Just take stock. If you persist in this, then there are going to be serious consequences. You know, when we get into it, you'll see and as we move through, you know, I guess there's some churches that might kind of sneak over this and not want to hit it home, but it's something that we need to, you know, need to teach through and need to say. So let's read Matthew chapter 11. And it's about some consequences that are just unavoidable of actions. So let's, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20. Now I'm actually reading from the message. Normally I'd read from something else, but this morning we'll read from the message, these particular verses. Next, Jesus let fly. Maybe let fly is the wrong kind of... So maybe take what your version says and rather than let fly, but maybe that was right. Next, Jesus let fly on the cities that he had worked the hardest. Hang on, I'll just study. Next, Jesus let fly on the cities where he had worked the hardest, but those whose people had responded the least, shrugging their shoulders and going their own way. Doom to you, Chorazin. Doom, Bethsaida. If Tyre and Sidon, they are ungodly towns, had seen half of the powerful miracles you have seen, they would have been on their knees in a minute. At Judgment Day, they'll get off easy compared to you. And Capernaum, with all your peacocks strutting, you are going to end up in the abyss. If the people of Sodom, again, an evil town, had your chances, the city would be still around. At Judgment Day, they'll get off easy compared to you. So after he said that, I can imagine the disciples just pausing, you know, and kind of taking stock, because they'd been in those towns. They'd interacted with those people along with Jesus. And I could imagine them just sitting there, just taking in the gravity of what Jesus had just said, you know, just letting it set in. That those people in the towns, they'd rejected that message, even though there were many miracles that were performed to back up the message, and as a result, one day, they would face God's judgment for the sin in their lives. And, you know, and the disciples would be thinking about some of those peoples, but that was the consequences of their actions in rejecting that message about Jesus. You know, how different it would be if they had taken on board. Heaven would be their home. You know, they'd have sins forgiven. They'd be part of God's family. But as a result of rejecting him, they'll be facing the righteous judgment of God for the sin in their lives. You know, and they've sealed their own fates. I think just take into account John 3:17. It says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So their path was heading in that direction anyway. Remember, Jesus was here on earth to avoid what that future held for them. It wasn't because Jesus was here, and if you like, they rejected, if I'm saying this correctly and you can understand, it wasn't because Jesus was here that they were now going to face that judgment. They were facing that judgment anyway. Jesus was here as a way of them avoiding it. If they just only reached out to him, put their faith in him, accepted that gift of sins forgiven. And we find out a bit more about this judgment because the message Jesus gave is applicable for us today. If we don't put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't reach out to him for sins forgiven and thank him for what he's done for us and receive that forgiveness, then we too will face those unavoidable consequences. We too will face that. So we can learn more about this judgment if we turn to Revelation chapter 20. And God, through a vision, gave John, I guess you could say, a preview of that day. He gave him a little insight about that day of judgment. And John, in the book of Revelation, he wrote down what he had seen. So if you turn to Revelation 20, if you've got your Bibles. And in the early parts of chapter 20, we see some of the events leading up to this judgment. And then back again in 19, we also see some of the timeline. That in 19, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ return. We read about, then we get to 20, and we read about how Satan is, if you like, imprisoned. Then we find out that the Lord Jesus Christ sets up a kingdom here on earth that goes for 1,000 years. And then Satan is unbound kind of again and lets loose. And then the Lord Jesus Christ takes control and chucks him into the lake of fire forever, where he'll be forever. And then this judgment comes about. So let's read from verse 20. From verse 11. And they are sobering, quite sobering words. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. So it starts off, I saw a great white throne and one who was seated on it. All indications are that this is the risen Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the righteous judge, the holy one, sitting on this great white throne. And before him are all people who have ever lived, but when they died, had sin in their lives, hadn't reached out to the Lord Jesus Christ for that forgiveness. So it didn't matter whether the person died this morning or 3,000 years ago, if they died not in God's family with sin in their lives, then they were going to be there before, if it's the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure it is, awaiting judgment there. And John, in verse 13, it tells us that just moments before, that their bodies had been raised from the grave, from the dead, and had been reunited with their souls. So just moments before that, that's what happened. So there they were, awaiting their judgment. And in verse 12, John describes what he sees. He says, people both great and small standing before Almighty God. So it didn't matter whether you were a leading politician or royalty or business leader, famous actor, philanthropist, intellectual, whoever, you know, great and small, were people standing before Almighty God there. Didn't matter who you were, if you died without sins forgiven, without responding to God, that the person would be there. And in verse 12, we read books were open. And there's one particular book that was mentioned called the Book of Life. This is different from the Lamb's Book of Life that we read about elsewhere, but it's opened. And for a person sitting there in this somber environment, or it's the wrong word again, hard to describe in this environment, the person sitting there would be desperately, desperately, desperately hoping that their name was in this book. But secretly they would know that it wasn't. when anyone's born, we from Psalm 96 verse 16, we get this. When anyone's born, it seems their name is written in this book. So when you were born, your name was written in this book. So your birth didn't go unnoticed in heaven. When you were born, your name was noted. Now, so that's pretty cool. You know, when you were born, God knew. And when a person puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, their name remains in this book. Revelation 3:5 kind of gives us that hint. But if somebody dies who's never put their faith in God, who's rejected all that offer of a relationship with Him, they've never accepted that free gift, then their name is erased from that book. And again, Psalm 69 verse 28 gives us a clue there. So here we find that this book is opened, and those standing before the throne is hoping and hoping and hoping that their names are in it. But they would know that it wouldn't be. And when it's opened, it's clear that their names aren't. There's been no mistake, and they are rightfully before this judge. You know, their fate was sealed before they died. And judgment gets underway. And we read, again in verse 12, other books are opened as well. We're not told the name of these books, but they seem to outline all the deeds, I guess the thoughts as well, and the neglectful things that anyone has done while they were living. And it's open for all to see. And the degree of the judgment, or if you like, the degree of the punishment, is determined by the degree of sin there. Now, and I guess anybody sitting there would be, well, I don't guess, I know, would be wishing that they had responded, that they had reached out. So if an example, say, Hitler hadn't responded, you know, any time in his, later on in his life, again to God, and he was there, the degree of punishment that would be measured out on him will be a lot more than somebody with just a little bit of a sin in their life. And we'd read other books are open. And I would say that one of those books may well relate to the passage we have in Matthew, where we learnt that there is part of the punishment that's given out is dependent on what you knew about the Lord Jesus Christ, or what a person knew about God and His forgiveness, and what they did with that knowledge as well. So if somebody's done 3 Alpha courses and 2 Christianity Explores and been to youth group and heard that their sin had cut them off from God and there was no hope for them, but then heard that amazing act of love, that God the Father allowed His Son to come down to earth and suffer and be put on the cross, taking the punishment that you deserved, and then offered the forgiveness as a free gift. Now, if somebody heard that at youth group and all they needed to do was reach out, believe, reach out and take it. If they had that knowledge but didn't, then they'd be judged more harshly, you know, from our verses in Matthew as well. And then, one of the more sobering verses in the Bible, verse 15 of Revelation 20. If anyone's name was not found in that book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You know, they're hard, hard verses. You know, I looked at these verses, dear, oh dear. But it is a fact that is the outcome of, you know, the natural course of events. And the Lord Jesus Christ came down to earth through his love for us so that wouldn't have to be anyone's future, wouldn't have to be our future. God takes no pleasure in it. It you just need to know that it cost him his son as a way of avoiding that. He watched his son suffer and die. And he's putting off that day of judgment for as long as possible so people can indeed respond to that. But that day of judgment is indeed real. So a sobering time this morning, but really no apologies, because that's kind of the facts. But what's our take home from it? Well, I guess firstly, if you're in a position where you've heard that message time and time again and believed it, but haven't responded, maybe just pardon, nah, not for me, walk away. Well, what more do I need to say? Respond. I mean, we'll just leave it at that, really. And maybe if you are part of God's family, how do we respond to this morning's message? I think, again, a simple one. Let's make people our priority. Just build relationships with people. Look for opportunities to share your faith. Live a life pleasing to God. Don't embarrass God and give him a bad name in the community. You know, I was at a funeral just this week, and I was thinking of the people who influenced me the most in my life, and this was one of those people. Linda, she was 64. She was just a background worker, worked for God. But I remember years and years ago, her daughter, I was doing some stuff at a girls' brigade thing with her daughter, and I went in and she said, "Oh no, Mum's done it again." And I said, "Oh, what's she done?" And she said, "Oh, we were standing at the supermarket aisle, and there was a lady in front, and she was having trouble with her kids, and Mum got talking to her and ended up taking her home for a cup of tea." And I thought, man, for Linda, people were her priority. She got alongside, she loved them like Jesus, and when there was an opportunity, she just shared her faith. Shared what God had done for her. Now, she made people priority. So maybe we need to be challenged by that. And that's our take home. Hey, just in closing too, this is close to home. I guess there's all of us have got family members or extended family members that don't know God, and you know, it weighs heavy that this could be their future. So maybe we could do something today for those who want to, that we'll put some yellow stickies on the communion table. And if you'd like to, just write the first name or the full name or an X, whatever, on one of these. Leave it at the table. And maybe there's somebody else in here would like to come up and pick up that sticky and take it away with them and just commit to pray for that person. Maybe every time you open the fridge or every time you turn the car key on, make there's some trigger that you're committed to pray for that person. And if you've written the name of that person on and you would like the person who's praying to know who you are and maybe you could talk, put your name on there as well. But if you'd like to make it more anonymous, just do it as loose or as... and just leave them on the table and somebody else can come up and pick it up. But only pick it up if you're going to follow through with it, eh? Commit, and maybe we can, just as a group, pray for people that at the moment their destinies are great. So let's pray. Father God, a sobering kind of topic this morning, judgment, but we acknowledge that your Son is the righteous judge, that there is no, or he's 100% holy, there is no evil intent in any of the judgment. It's just right. And it's hard for us to comprehend at times, but we do just acknowledge that your Son and you have given us the opportunity to have a relationship with you. And Father, we do thank you for that. And this morning, pray with all my heart that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, that they will indeed respond. Not out of fear of the future, but out of love and appreciation for what you've done. So Father, we also commit to you family members and extended family members and friends who don't know you. And again, we pray with all our hearts that you would bring about those circumstances that would bring them into your family. And Father, remove just those scales from their eyes, whatever's holding them back. So again, we thank you for what we have as a result of being in your family. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew.